Pickaxe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Welcome to the Chance Encounters podcast. We've been running board game cafes around the UK for the past 7 years now. From hen-dos to family reunions, from first dates to breakups, we've recommended a game for every situation, and now we want a fresh challenge. Every episode, we'll be inviting a guest to put our board game knowledge to the test. They'll come armed with an abstract and absurd scenario, and it's up to us to figure out what that situation calls for and recommend a game that totally gets their adrenaline rushing. Whoever's recommendation our guest loves the most will score a point. At the end of the series, one person will be crowned the Titan of Board Games!
Whoa.
There you go. I'm one of the hosts. I'm Richard Scarsbrick. I'm the founder of Chance Encounters, and I've been doing it for 7 years now. We have board game cafes all around, including a new one if you're in Bristol on Gloucester Road. I'm not sure if I've ever mentioned that, but it's all singing, all dancing. It's absolutely lovely. And I have a sweet spot for the word haberdashery. I don't know where it came from, but it has a great mouthfeel when you say it.
It's so good. I would never find a chance to use that. Interest in that. But I think I might just keep saying. I really wish I was into haberdashery.
I'm just gonna pop to the haberdashers.
The habdash. Like, I'm just shortening already.
Yeah, you gotta make it cutesy and small. Yeah.
Exactly. And I am joined by my other host, Ben.
Hello, I'm Ben. I make videos with the Yogscast, and I'm also a massive nerd who loves board games. My wife's first job at college was at a haberdasher's.
No way. And does that mean you get to use it all the time?
She does. It's hard to respond. But we do play a lot of patchwork because of that.
Oh, true.
Quite nicely. She does love a button.
Yeah. And our guest host for this week is Russ.
Hello, I'm Russell. I've worked for Chance Encounters for a couple of years now, and my role is the head of collecting the random pieces and finding them in your pockets at the end of a shift. So I have enough game pieces for a rather large game collection, but no boxes or boards or anything like that. So. I'm really, really kicking myself because there's a word that my colleague used yesterday, and I was like, skedaddle. I love the word skedaddle. I've got a skedaddle now, and I don't know if that's made it across the pond. Has that word made it across to America?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Well, there we go. And speaking of America,
yes, our guest for this episode is Ray.
Hello, hi, I'm Ray. I currently work for Check Games Edition. I do their Twitch streaming and various other media and marketing things, and I am excited to present my scenario for y'all today.
I love your tagline of in-house screamer.
Whenever
I see that, it just makes me really happy.
It is the best way to describe my job. I just yell on the internet, and people pay me for that. That's pretty much it.
Perfect.
Ideal.
I know,
someone gave me a podium.
Living the dream.
So.
If Chance Encounters ever go down that route and hire one, can I submit my my name for the role?
Then who's going to find all the pieces?
Oh, there'll be plenty. There's so many Everyone does that. I'm just the best at doing it. I'll train up some new person to do it in my stead.
You specifically told us that that was your job. Like, no one else gets to do it in Chance Encounters. So you're irreplaceable. I'm sorry, Russ.
Okay. Well, I'll make do with my. I'll make peace with what I am.
You'll make peace with peace it, will you?
That's totally
all you
intentional.
Need to do is round up all the, take all the pieces out of all the games and hide them, and then no one will ever lose one again.
I just say hold them to ransom until he gives me my in-house screamer role. That's what I do. What are you going to do without the board game pieces? What are you going to play with?
That surely would make me the in-house screamer at that point. Exactly. I don't think that would make for entertaining streamable content, though. Just me shouting at you.
No,
about...
you'd be surprised.
I'd watch.
The weirder the better. In my very humble opinion, the weirder the better on Twitch, because like board games are so are in terms of like live streaming them, they're quite dull. That's kind of where the screamer persona comes from. It's like you got to inject energy somewhere. It doesn't really matter where. You just have to do it. So if that's what brings out the rage and the energy from you, that I think that's fine.
I wonder what your interview was like during that time. Was it just full of this rage as well?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I had to like film an example of, I was given the weirdest assignment. I had to film a pretend stream to get this job. And they said it had to be 2 minutes or less, which it's long form content. So I've given them endless. Can I swear on this? I don't know if I can or not. I've given them endless shit about this, like this, you know, thing I was supposed to do. Because like, how am I supposed to show what I'm like on stream in 2 minutes or less? So what I did was I took a regular stream, like itinerary, and speed ran it. I like had a timer up at the top, and I just like ran through it. That was my audition tape for this.
That's so good.
That was my audition tape. So basically, yeah, it was just me screaming and. Trying to do it as fast as I could, talking to viewers that weren't there. I was supposed to pretend as if I was on stream. So I was like, "Oh man, viewer one and two, like thank you for being here. Like I only got 45 seconds left. Like that was my audition tape. So yeah, pretty much."
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was a very weird job interview experience.
Wow. It worked.
It worked.
Yeah,
I can't complain.
We have a very soft spot for CGE because one of the other previous guests is Paul Grogan, so he I know he does a lot of demo for you guys.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, he does a lot of, he's kind of like, we kind of consider him like a friend of CG. He does like a lot of demoing stuff. He does a lot of video like sponsorships with us. He doesn't work at CG, but he's kind of adopted into the CG family.
I hear that's what the G in CGE stands for.
Yeah,
Grogan.
Yeah, it stands for Grogan. Yeah. Little known fact.
Wow, we're getting straight to the secrets of the industry at this point. This is great.
I'll tell you anything. I've been told, I very explicitly tell all my coworkers to not tell me anything. They don't want other people to know. So I'm the last person to find out about games we're developing. Because I'll just say it. I like to have secrets and I like to give them out to people. So I am very purposefully left out of a lot of meetings.
Right.
Because of that very reason.
Because it's their fault if anything goes wrong, right?
I warned you. I take no responsibility. My accountability is gone.
That's so good. I'm like the opposite. I know a lot of stuff, and I'm like really, really scared to say anything. I'm sorry, that sounded really big-headed. I don't know a lot of stuff, but when I do know stuff...
Like twice you need help, you're scared to say anything?
Yeah, like Ticket to Ride. I was talking about Ticket to Ride the other, and I actually wasn't sure I was... Even though I asked the person, I was like, can I take a picture of this? Can I share it on social media? They're like, yeah, of course. And then even after I knew that, I still didn't until I saw somebody else do it. And I was like, okay, they're in trouble if anything goes wrong. I'm just cutting off of their coattails. Yeah, exactly. But yeah. Anyway,
I mean, so talking of revealing secrets, what is this scenario that you've come prepared with?
All right. So my scenario for you all today is you have been invited to meet your partners. Yes, you. You've been invited to meet your partner's parents for the very first time. And these are very affluent, very old money, a little bit quirky, like the quirk that only can come with old money. You know, that's what these people are. You've been invited to their house and they are thoroughly convinced that the only way to experience the full sensory experience of a board game is to play it outside in the pouring rain. We've got the whole charcuterie board, the fancy wine, absolute torrential downpour and they would like to play a board game.
So they're monsters, basically.
Wow. Yeah.
Absolute monsters.
I feel like of the food that could go badly, charcuterie is probably the least. Like, cheese and meats are fairly, like, they're not absorbed that much. Yeah.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. They've done this before. Yeah. They've worked out the kinks of this whole scenario.
Cheese is Jenkins. A waterproof food. I'll allow it.
Yeah.
It's hard cheese. Maybe not soft cheese, but, like, you know, like, cheddar and stuff. Consider rather waterproof.
Like, you're trying to eat a bowl of soup or something, right? That's just not going to go well.
Yeah. Unless, like, it's one of those I'm just worried about the wine, though, because, you know, wine diluted is less good. Surely that's... That's true, right? Not a wine expert or anything.
Do they serve special concentrated wine that actually needs a little bit of dilution?
Concentrated wine? Like wine squash?
Like squash, yeah, exactly.
Like pills, like where you just add water and it just, you know, becomes normal wine. Not sure that'll catch on, to be honest. So I guess So we're talking about waterproof food, but I guess we're now looking for waterproof games.
This waterproof is not board games, yeah.
This is not an area we haven't discussed before, actually, because we had a beach one, and there was definitely an element of waterproofing needed for the game. So,
but we can think outside of the box as well. It doesn't necessarily have to be waterproof. It could also be disposable, you know, or it could be something that could survive being dried out.
That's true.
You could play wet Jenga. You could dry those blocks out after. It wouldn't just...
Okay. I was immediately thinking
Well,
like,
that'd be like tough mode, that, wouldn't it? Because like the water would like kind of absorb a little bit. And so you'd be
and
like...
And you'd get quite a lot of tension from that, wouldn't you? The blocks literally, would stick a bit more.
I think the game would be like, who can take a piece out without it sort of like collapsing? That'd be a very different... That's a very good thing. That's very good thinking, though, Ben.
You know what? We should try a Jenga in the Bath edition and see whether or not it improves the game on any level.
I think it definitely would. You'd splash them when they knock them down the tower. That'd be way more exciting.
It's true.
I like that you went straight to Bath, not in a pool or something like that.
No, I mean, obviously, it's lower stakes. I don't know.
I don't know, man. If you're fitting more than two people in a Bath, even that's it's quite
so that's
tricky.
That's pretty
high
stakes. Yeah. I want towers crashing on me in the bath.
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, for some reason, I just assume Jenga is a two player game. That's just not true, though. I don't know what the optimum Jenga.
Yeah, what is the maximum player count in Jenga? Is there one?
I don't think so.
No, I guess the number of what's the maximum possible moves. That's the maximum number of players. Yeah, each player gets one. Yeah.
Back to going first.
Yeah. So you'd really want to go first, first play advantage in that one.
Right.
That's what it says. Interesting. I challenge that.
Jenga's the definition
accuracy.
Of first player advantage for sure. I'm sure there's a dedicated BGG forum about like the first how to mitigate first player Jenga advantage. I guarantee it. There's something like that.
I wonder if there's definitely a situation of like, if it's your turn, you should go for a side piece over a middle piece or where you should... Someone's probably done the math, right?
Oh, I guarantee it.
Yeah, someone solved Jenga, for sure.
Solved Jenga.
It's the sort of thing that would just be like a PhD thesis, right? Someone's just like, they didn't know what they were going to do, and then they're like, Jenga, I've got it.
Physics thesis,
and
I love
it. Yeah. To them like... Yeah,
just hit
Isaac
me
Newton.
Like a tower.
I love. There's a good chance I've said this on the podcast before, but one of my favorite facts about Jenga is every Jenga is unique because they built into the manufacturing process a way to slightly vary all the pieces. So there's never going to be two sets that are like identical, and that's
that
on
true?
Purpose. I don't know. I saw it on the internet. So
there's enough.
I don't know. It didn't even take any pride in you. I'm just saying it.
I mean, I'll be honest. I feel like it's legitimate.
I just wanted to be like, yeah, it's true. And I would have been like, I would have believed you.
But that's the thing.
They're all different sizes. Like, they're not level when you build them. I'm sure that's on purpose.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd be much easier, right?
I feel like from wherever I learned it, I have enough confidence repeating that fact without feeling like I was going to come back to bite me in the butt in the future. So,
your worldview there. I was just like, really? And you were like, nah.
There was a friend of mine. Who actually made a set of Jenga, but I don't think they realized that fact that all of them blocks were different. So they made them all the same. Yeah. And then when they played it, it was literally like, I can't move it. It's like you're trying to move a house kind of situation. And then they had to go back and re-edit the blocks just so it was a fun game.
What did they do, like sandpaper
fun,
or something?
I guess,
game.
Yeah.
I played like an off-brand version of Jenga. It was called Uno Stacko. It was the Uno branded version. It's literally Jenga, but with Uno like symbols on the side. It was made out of plastic. It really, they like stick together. Oh. Wooden, it really is necessary because like those middle ones, especially down, there was some sort of, I don't know, friction between the plastic sticking. Mm. But yeah, look up Uno Stacko. It's a deep cut. It's also, Uno, but all the symbols.
I feel like they've missed a trick there. Surely when you pull the stick out, it should have like a symbol on it and you can make people reverse and pick up.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Yeah. It is. You have to, if someone pulls out one that has a green, the next person has to also pull a green or something, and then you can reverse it. You can, like, make the next person have to pull out two. I don't know, I haven't played in years, but it's cute.
So the thing is, you say that's like a knockoff version of Jenga, but the actual knockoff versions of Jenga exist in the UK in places like Poundland, and they're called, like, Tower Block. Like, block stack.
I mean, if we're talking about
just so
knockoffs, I once, they wanted Pop-Up Pirate for the cafe, and I'm pretty sure I ordered Pop-Up Pirate. But what actually came was Pirate Lucky Game, which, to be honest, I think is actually the superior version of that board game. So.
Sometimes knockoffs are good. Sometimes.
You know,
you never know.
I've actually watched a video on YouTube of somebody taking part a Pop-Up Pirate and sort of vaguely know how it works, but don't ask me to explain because it's hard to explain. I just know there's like a, it's not nearly as impressive as you think, because you know with like Pop-Up Pirate's like quite a big big barrel, and you think there's all sorts of like technology,
springs
and
stuff.
Like lots of technology, and it's like it's almost like looking at the skeleton of a, I don't know, what's a big fluffy animal with like a really tiny skeleton?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like when a big puffy dog gets like shaved or something, you can see their little leg bones.
Yeah, like,
like
when you get one of those big fluffy dogs and when it's wet and it just suddenly you just see it and it's just like, looks completely different.
You're ruining
it's like
my childhood.
I know. Sorry. Well, don't look at it. At least you can.
He's saying don't do it, yeah.
Don't look at me.
Learn from his mistakes.
No one needs to see that. That's like board game gore.
Yeah, it's like peeling the lid off of Operation.
It's body horror,
looking at his real guts in there.
It's like bending Risk board backwards. And so
I've actually seen that.
I know you've mentioned it on this podcast.
The Monopoly board, yeah.
But the thing is that I experienced the same sort of thing recently. I was in the cafe and someone just started doing this. And I was like, no!
It's scary, isn't it?
It was so scary.
The concept of like a board being... Mm-hmm. Broken. I was listening to a YouTube video the other day that was Am I the Asshole? They were reading Reddit stories about Am I the Asshole? And it was about this guy who thoroughly convinced he was not the asshole in the scenario where he he was like renting out a room in this other woman's apartment. And one of the rooms that she had was like a dedicated board game room. She was like a big board gamer. And she was like, oh, you know, you're welcome to use any of the games in here. And so one night he decides he's going to use the game room. He invites a bunch of his friends over. They get super drunk. They're playing a really big game that he was like, it was so complicated, we couldn't figure it out. Two of his friends get really drunk, rip the board in half, and then they just put it away. They're like, oh, this, we're going to stop playing. And I'm like, it's like pins and needles describing like, oh, well, we just got really frustrated. Someone ended up tearing the board, like a casual fact. She then finds out, locks the board game room and is like, I'm sorry, you're not allowed in here anymore. And I'd like you to pay for this board game. And he like initially agrees, and then he goes to look it up and finds out that it's like a $300 board game. So it must have been like, I don't know, like Gloomhaven or some big heavy board game, and decides he's not going to pay it because it's ridiculous to own a game that expensive. It was this, and thoroughly convinced he wasn't the asshole. Thoroughly convinced. He was like, it's ridiculous for board games to be that expensive. What's the big deal? And it was like,
please.
It was pins and needles. Oh, it was horrible. Horror story.
Was there like a consensus? Because I imagine these Am I the Asshole posts are in non-board game like community. So was there a consensus?
The consensus was, you're an asshole and it's ridiculous to own a board game that expensive. The consensus. It was like, we were so close. We were almost there. But then it was like, why do you have a game that's that expensive in the first place? Which, not the conclusion I reached, but...
It's like going in and finding someone's like designer handbag or trainers.
Right.
Or
it's like, just because you don't care doesn't mean that. Boggled my mind. It was so deeply upset. I had to like go lie down watching. I had to go take a break.
It's awful. I hate it.
It's the stuff
I mean,
of
poor
nightmares.
Woman as well. She thought she's being so nice, you know, like just saying like you can play them, not realizing what monsters she was letting stay at her place. My God,
I can't imagine. Sorry to bring it down, but
yeah, you've really brought the mood down now.
So sorry.
I'm kidding.
So we're going to try not to destroy these board games in the outside situation where we're trying to recommend our old money future in-laws.
Like, what's the motive behind the game? Like, as in, what are we trying to? Are we trying to impress them? Or are we just trying to them to enjoy it? Or like, are we trying to? Yeah, what's the motive behind this? Like us playing games.
I would imagine it would be to win them over. We'll say they're future in-laws. You haven't yet, like, this is not your married partner. Yep. So it's two parts, wanting them to like you, and also just sort of a survival aspect of like just getting through without any uncomfortable topics being brought up, just trying to get through, pleasant evening all around, trying not to aggravate anyone.
And what kind of level of gamers are these? Because they clearly have a a thing about wanting to play in the ultimate board gaming experience, but any good board gamers I know would never play in the rain anyway, so I just kind of guess, where are these people in that level of board games? Like, how skilled are they?
We would say pretty decently skilled board gamers.
Okay.
And the rain thing, again, just old money quirk. There's no deep philosophical layer to this. They're pretty decent board. Like, they have this opinion, and they have developed this opinion over many years of board game playing, so they are looking for something on the heavier side.
So £300 games are disposable to them.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's the other thing. Very, very wealthy. This is, they would not be above playing a game once, like the ultimate legacy game experience of playing a game once, having it get soaked and then never like, and then buying it again if they want to play it again. That is not above them.
I wonder if something like Treasure Island or something that's like nautical themed might be quite interesting. Just because there'd be the water coming in, it might add a bit to the texture of like papers and stuff. I still think it would get destroyed, but it might add a little bit of role playing.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. So like, it's funny because the whole point you just mentioned about them kind of just casually throwing a game away. So this game just needs to basically last that game because they don't care if it's thrown away.
Yeah,
interesting. That's good. I don't know. I'm struggling with this one.
I feel like I've got a couple of answers. I'm all on board of this. There's plenty of board games I've played and I never want to play again, and I'd be fine to see it in like sodden tatters in my garden.
What an interesting way to approach that hypothetical.
Yeah, if it comes from your own collection, that's really going to change my answer.
Assume that it's a four-player game.
Yeah. We want to say you, your partner, and their two parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so this is going to be outside. I guess duration doesn't matter too much.
No. I mean, this would be like a normal cocktail hour length, like wine, cheese, something that would last that amount of time.
Yep.
I don't know. Sometimes I've been in a room of people who like wine and cheese, and they don't last very long at all. We'd be talking about
the other element of this, I guess. Yeah, is that there would be drinking involved.
Yeah, but
these are
sensible people that it just constantly gets topped up, right? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I've went to a really fancy restaurant once and we had we had some butter, and you literally took a scoop out, put it onto like a bread roll, and then immediately like the server would take the bit of butter and then they'd give you a new one, and you're just
that's so upsetting. Oh, I hate that.
Well, exactly, right? And then you're just like,
wasteful.
So at that point you're going, well, I guess I'll never use the butter again because all I'm going to happen is they're just going to replace it, and I don't want that to happen.
Yeah. Oh, that's upsetting.
It is.
Yeah. Although I like the commitment to the, like, we can never leave anything less than full. Like, that would work very well for alcohol, I feel.
Is it a case of like you chop some cheese and then they just like bring out an entirely new wheel? Sorry, this is no longer the optimum level of cheese wheel.
The aesthetics are ruined.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, 100%.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello and welcome to the Eurogamer Newscast, and this week we're discussing the biggest Xbox leak in history. We're looking ahead to the Switch 2's potential launch lineup. We're asking why there are so many industry layoffs, or at least that's what I would be saying. If you're listening to the Eurogamer Newscast, hello, I'm Tom, Eurogamer's editor and host of our weekly discussion podcast, where we break down the biggest gaming news stories and share insight from our news reporting team. Head to your favorite podcast app now to listen. Just search Eurogamer Newscast.
Okay, so we're outside, we're enjoying a relatively social event. They are willing to play heavy board games. It's as long as they can, they have the mental faculties. I feel like it'd be quite a high stress situation where I'm not sure that people would be drinking at that point. Like, oh, do they just not care at this point?
They don't care. They don't care. Wow. Like, there's rainwater in their glass. It's fine. It's just, they don't react to the rain. The rain is just here. It's to make them feel something. It's just kind of there. God. We're not, like, acknowledging the rain. In every other facet, this is a normal outdoor, like, little cocktail hour.
I just love the idea that they have no feeling. They're just like, I've got to be outside drinking my Chateau de Chaffelet.
Yes. No, literally, there's a video I'm basing this scenario off of it. I'll show it to you guys afterwards. So you can get sort of the vibe, like full posh, like fancy outfit, like rainwater splashing the wine and just completely placid sitting there as if everything is normal. That is the attitude we're going for.
Are we dinner?
Maybe like one notch down from tuxedos, like garden party attire.
For those of us that don't swing in a circle of one notch below tuxedos, what does that look like?
I just said it. we're talking like, I don't know, just a suit. Tuxedo I think of as like the full tails and everything, yeah. like a sport jacket kind of situation.
One notch down is sport jacket, gotcha.
I've never understood the word sport jacket. Like, last thing I'd want to do in one of those jackets is play
all
sport.
The elements of this scenario I anticipated being interrogated on, the outfits I did not come prepared for.
I mean, we've got some dexterity games. We've got to think about these things.
Practical question I did not foresee. I appreciate it.
I have an idea now. I'm starting to hone in on one, but yeah.
I also have an idea.
Got a solid one.
Ben seems confident. I feel like he should go last. Confident.
I'll go first. I'm going to, first of all, do an honourable shout out. I'm not going to mention it again because we did this last time on the beach to Too Many Bones.
Which is
ideal for this scenario. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely a fully waterproof game where everything's made of like plastic and foam. And it's a great game, but we've talked about it in detail.
It's heirloom quality and about as expensive as an heirloom as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Is it true that all of their games are waterproof? Like they're all quite high quality. These lot of chip tokens.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
They are heavy as well. The big box full of 1,000 poker chips and laminated cards. It's a beast.
So it's waterproof, but it would sink if you dropped it in the sea.
Definitely. It would drag you down with it. Yeah. You would die holding that game. But you wouldn't let it go because it's expensive.
It's expensive.
I guess we'll just have to test this whilst we're playing Jenga in the bath to see whether or not Too Many Bones also sinks. So just if you're in that situation, whether or not you can take it to a deserted island. Gotcha.
Mm. So so when you're in the rain, right? And you're, you know, you're rich, you're drunk, you're feeling nothing, you're getting, you're looking fancy, but you're a little disheveled because of the weather. Yes. And what immediately comes to my mind is hard bitten detective, you know?
Mm.
Imagine you're in a film noir detective story, the rain's beating on the window, you're drinking your whiskey to forget your past, and then along comes a murder and you've got to solve it. So what I'm going to recommend is the Sherlock Holmes consulting detective game.
Good answer.
Because it is a game you really can only play once. Because once you've solved it and you know who done it, you don't want to play that mission again. You know, you know who done it. So it's fine. It can be completely ruined. That newspaper and all of the clues can be destroyed in the rain. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's got the right vibe because it's a fun game to play while you're drinking. You don't have to worry about a board state or maths. You're just chatting and reading and discussing it, and it honestly gets more fun the more you drink because you just start going completely off topic and investigating the zoo and the circus who's in town because that sounds cool. Maybe he was eaten by a lion, I don't know.
I mean, you're also going to be completely wrong at the end of this anyway, unless you're good. I mean, like, I would not do very well. So,
yeah, but it's, you know, it's not about the it's about the journey and not the destination. So I think you would get to know the parents very well. You'd have a good time and you wouldn't be sad that it was destroyed because it's a one and done game anyway.
I would say, like, the game also being that it is a lot of paper, it gives it a natural time limit for the game as well.
That adds a ticking clock element, you know, to solving the mystery. Because technically, you could spend as long as you wanted. Yeah, because you're reading the clues in the newspaper, but it's falling apart as you're reading it, you know? You've got to solve this murder before all the clues are destroyed.
Somebody's laid it down on the table, and then you've realised you need to see something on the other side, and you're like, no, we aren't going to be able to take it off running, tearing it into shreds.
I feel like it's quite atmospheric of running around London in the pouring rain. Like, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I think it's thematically appropriate.
Is it cooperative or competitive?
It is cooperative. I suppose for anyone who's not familiar with the game, just to briefly explain, it's a cooperative game where you read through newspapers about what's going on in London and you choose places in London to visit and you can speak to various characters, the coroner, the journalist, the police station, and you put together all the little bits of information and you try and solve the murder in as few steps as possible. And then at the end, you find out, you talk to Sherlock Holmes and you find out he already solved it 5 steps faster than you did because he's a smug prick.
I've ranted about him on this podcast before and how he's like, if you know it, why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you investigating it? But I won't dive into that yet.
Have I do like that suggestion.
I think that's a good one, actually.
It nailed the vibe. Like, the vibe is... I don't know about logistically if I'm sold, but the vibe of the whole setup, I think you nailed it.
I think I've got one which also kind of really utilises the fact that it's raining as well, so I'm going to jump in there before Rich inevitably takes takes the same game. Mm-hmm. So mine is called Riff Raff. It's a nautical themed game, and the rain is really going to add to it because this is a dexterity game. So usually I go for like heavier games in this because they're the kind of games that I like, but I think this one is really fun in a much lighter way because you are essentially constructing in the box a rocking ship. So this kind of wooden ring sits atop like a cardboard cone, and on top of that is like a mast, you know, like a mast for a ship, but it rocks. Mm-hmm. And it has like little sticks coming out of various heights with which have numbers on. And those numbers relate to a deck of cards that each player has, 1 to 10. And you have an assortment of wooden objects that you're trying to offload onto this ship. And so you'll each choose a card in secret, revealing it. And the number tells you not only which order that you're going to go and place these objects on the ship, but where on the ship you place them. And I think the higher, the lower the number, the higher the spot on the ship. But when you place something, obviously it affects the balance of that ship. So you're trying to place these objects onto the spots of the ship without tipping it over. Because if they do tip over, any objects that fall off get added to your assortment of pieces again. And it's the first player to get rid of all of theirs that wins the game. And it's a very light game, I mean, you can play it very silly, but I also feel like if you were to play it in the rain, it would almost be like you're playing in a storm. And that would really add to the atmosphere of playing it. It's also, I know that it is a wooden / cardboard game with like cards. So yeah, it would probably withstand, you know, a game or two out in the rain, but you know, wouldn't be too long. But it's also just really visual and a fun sort of like game with silly elements, but you could also, you know, take it seriously enough in that atmosphere. I think it would very much captures the vibe of being stuck out in the rain. And you know, the drunker you get, the harder it is. So trying to balance stuff on the ship as you're 3 bottles of wine in is probably going to be a lot of entertaining to watch. So that's my suggestion. It's called Riff Raff.
I just looked it up. I've never heard of it before, and I do very much enjoy the image of like these very serious, very wealthy people playing like a children's game in this scenario. Yeah.
It's another game that we would have in the cafe that as soon as you get that out, people are like, oh, wow, it's got table presence. Yeah. And people are like, I want to play that game.
It's quite tall. Cool. It's like, you know, it sits quite high up on the table. It's quite, and it's all like, it's all incredible because it's literally in the box, and the bottom of the box is basically like the sea. And then the cone is like the wave, and then the ship is balancing on top. It's a really cool really cool design game, and we actually do have it at the cafe that I'm at. So come check it out.
It's hard to get hold of, I think, as well.
Yeah, we've been waiting for it to get it again for ages, and I don't even know if it's so. It's rare as well, and being that these are rich old money parents, they would love to have their hands on a rare game.
You should have led with that. That's good.
thanks, Rich.
From 2012.
Blast!
Wow, that in board game terms, that is ancient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think Carcassonne was like 2000. Actually, it might be 2000. When was
I think 2000 is Carcassonne. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you've stolen my thunder. No, I actually didn't think of Riff Raff, although I do. I think that's like very well placed, I'm not going to lie. I was thinking old money to me says like smells of mahogany and wood and like kind of finely crafted pieces. So I'm not necessarily on the disposable side of things. I'm thinking a game that they could have made. It's just excellent. It's exquisite. It's a piece of art in of its own. Now, we have several wooden games now in the cafes. I'm going to go with one that I've recently played, and you'll probably have heard of it because it was all over TikTok recently. I say recently, I don't think it was that recent. I'm sorry. is actually Corridor.
Oh, that was all over TikTok. That was the weirdest thing.
Right? It
took over. It's so strange, so, yeah.
Corridor, for those who are like me, haven't actually played it or seen much of it recently, is a game where it's between two and four players. It is a 9x9 grid, and there are 20 like wooden pieces. So it's all like beautiful wooden pieces. And the idea is to quite simply get from one edge of the board to the other side of the board. However, on your turn, you have basically one of two actions. One is move your piece. And the second option is to lay down a fence, basically. And so the fence can be used to either aid you or, more like obviously you're going to, block someone else. And so what you're trying to do is get across while people are constantly changing and trying to channel you and turn you. And I just think that we're talking old money. I'm thinking they could have got one of these pieces just created for them from like the rarest, finest woods, lovely polished.
Ivory. Just,
well.
Yeah, unicorn horns.
Yeah.
Exactly. I learned a fun fact about woolly mammoth tusks recently. It's from Reddit. The sourcing is questionable. but it was apparently that it's less rare than you'd thought, and it's also potentially better than elephant ivory. But fundamentally, I'm not sure I'd support any of this. But
I can't believe it's not elephant.
Exactly. But if you were so inclined for your future parents-in-laws and money was no object, and you also had, you know, morals were not in question, then you could make some fine pieces. So Corridor is really simple. It's quite easy to pick up. The first game I ever played of it, I was like, this is instantly very interesting because you're like moving across and then someone like jams a fence in between you and then you're like, hey, well, that's not cool. And then depending on whether or not you're playing like two players more like strategic, four players a bit more like chaotic, but also you can try and play it so that you're like, I know Bessie's gonna win, but actually I don't, it's, you know, someone else is gonna have to deal with that on their turn so that they don't win. And so it becomes quite an interesting layer of strategy. So I'm thinking like it plays into chess or Go or something that I just picture old money playing for some reason. Like everybody who has old money has the chess set in the library next to their haberdashery. I think that, like, it'd be an exquisite piece, and it's a really good game, and it's gonna survive playing outside.
Nice. Oh, I like that a lot.
It's a good game as well. It's so simple but so good.
Yeah,
and it's been around a while now, I feel like.
At least
I was like, remember seeing it at a show in Spiel several years ago and just like playing a giant version of it, and I was like, that's so cool.
They also have another one of like the similar, which is I'll just mention it because I really love the game. I can't remember what it's called, but the idea is it's a similar to chess, but Well, it's not. It's an abstract game.
Yeah.
And what you're doing is you're trying to kind of do a Connect Four, but the pieces are different colors, sizes, shapes. Maybe one has holes in, maybe one's solid. And what you're trying
quarter
to do.
Quarter or something?
It might be quarter.
Yeah. And I think that's.
Yeah.
You're playing. But the interesting one is that you're giving your opponent the piece. So you choose what they place. And so is this really, again, like, of all the kind of chess abstract replacements, I thought I played that one over the weekend and it was really quite fun. I also won, so immediately stopped playing and I can never play again.
Cool, your head, absolutely.
So my pitch is Corridor, but by the way, if you like those kind of games, they've got a bunch of them.
Nice.
Oh man, I do like I do like the Corridor suggestion because of the, like, any rich person always has, like, that unused, very fancy chess set in, like, the corner of their, like, do you know what I mean? That's just, like, unnecessarily made of ivory or it's gold leafed or something. That, I do like that. I do like that.
No one's touched it in, like, 10 years.
No,
but it is
not
dusty. Like, they've got their butler to dust it every time they go through.
It's just, that screams old money to me for sure. Yeah. I like that idea a lot.
It's the whiff of, like, the mahogany. I don't know if mahogany is, like, the most expensive wood, but for some reason to
it
me, that's,
like... It sounds
like
it.
It's very right. Cherry wood as well, you know? Like, cherry wood sounds really... It's probably cheap, but sounds fancy, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man. Do I have to make my choice?
Could ask us any questions in case there's anything you're... Yeah. I'm sure something that you need to know to help you make your decision.
Oh, I don't know. I guess I've never played the Sherlock Consulting Detective. Is that something that you sit down and play once? Or is that, like, is it multiple cases?
It's not multiple cases. I forget exactly. It's something like 10 or 12. Yeah, so there's a lot of replayability, but obviously you keep them tucked away from the rain. So each case would be destroyed in turn.
Got it.
So you can play, like, 12 times whenever it's raining. You're like, oh, it's a rainy day. Let's play board games and let's go outside.
Yeah.
That's what you do, right?
I hand wave this whole situation making sense by being like, they're really rich. They don't, nothing they do makes any sense. That's the critical part. And then for Riff Raff, would you say it's like, is it a dexterity game from how you're describing it?
It's partly strategic in that you have the deck of cards, 1 to 10, and I can't remember specifically whether it's the higher or the lower number, but the lowest number has basically the easiest time of placing a piece because it's lower down on the ship, but then you're like the last person to go in the next turn or something like that.
Yeah, so each of you picks a card, and then it dedicates where you're placing it, and so the easier
and
or harder
order as
then,
well.
Exactly.
Would you think rain would affect, like,
absolutely.
In a sense that it would ruin it? Would it be playable?
No. It would still
is
be
my
play-
question.
It would definitely still be playable. It would add extra element of, like, challenge to it, but then like the whole point of playing that game is it is a family game.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is a fun game as it is, but if you're playing with, like, you know, an adult group, you'd kind of want that added challenge. Also, just because I kind of want to take that game Riff Raff and take it out into, like, a rainstorm and, like, take a picture of me playing it, because I think that would be a really good picture to post on social media.
Yeah.
People would not be happy with you, Russ.
Yeah, but
Come on. Sorry.
Old money people would understand. It's all about the aesthetic and about the looks.
That real niche of old money board gamers that follow you.
I'm just talking about, like, how you come across on social media, because that's very...
Your,
well, that's
your little
new
bubble
money,
pipe and your smoking jacket.
Bubble pipe.
Someday I want to be able to get a bubble pipe and use it as if I was a wise old man.
Yeah.
What is a bubble pipe?
It's like looks like a normal old man's pipe, but it blows bubbles instead.
Yeah. Oh, cute. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. That's very cute.
Yeah.
That's how I'd fit in with the parents. I'd be like, it's your move, Jeffrey.
I guess my question for Corridor is, I've never played. I know I've seen it, but I've never played it. What would you consider, like, the weight? Like, how... Would it be, I know weight's kind of a hard thing to quantify, but is it luck, strategy, like, how much of it, how thinky is it? Like, are you really sitting there brain burning over your next move, or you're like, pop down a fence? Like, where does it fall on that spectrum?
Can I use the old adage, easy to learn, hard to master. No, I'd say it's like average. Like you can, it's really easy to play it and be somewhat chaotic. But then I think the more you play, the more you're like, oh, okay, I start to understand how certain things work in the game. And so you could make it more strategic the more you play.
Okay. All right, I think I know what I'm picking.
If you're ready, you go for it.
These are all very, very good. I really like the different directions you guys took it, but I think I have to go with Corridor. I think because it has that duality of it can be very chaotic, like if they're getting very drunk, it works, but it also has this like chess-like element of like, I've played this a lot. I like, you can take it very strategic. I like the fact that you could bouge it up. You could make it out of like any sort of fancy material you wanted. Again, when I came into this, I was not thinking about the chess thing, but that imagery of like the fancy chessboard that is perfectly pristine, but nobody's touched it feels extremely old money to me. I think that as I like the riffraff for the what do you call it? The thematics of everything. I think it'd be a little too childish. I looked at it and it's a little, it looks a little like, I think it's a hilarious image, but if I'm trying to take my ridiculous hypothetical seriously, I think it's too childish. And I really like Sherlock Consulting Detective for, again, the atmosphere, but I think again, logistically, I like the fact that Corridor is something you can replay a bunch, even though I said like, I like the disposable side of it, but something about the, this is a very fancy handcrafted thing won me over. Cause I initially really liked the fact that you can just destroy it and it's fine. But I don't know. Corridor won me over. I think that's a great suggestion.
I think it was great. Well chosen. There's obviously the winner.
They were all really good. You all took it in a different direction, which is really fun. I like that
a lot.
When
you were talking about it being in the rain, and immediately my brain was going, okay, so no to paper and cards, but yes to plastic. And I just didn't even think of the more obvious choice of waterproof of wood games. And of course, that's such a clever... I wish I'd kind of made that connection. I'm not sure I would have... picked Corridor, but yeah, wooden
games. I'm surprised
someone
picked like Gloom or something. That was the first thing I thought of when I was thinking about like something that has translucent or like has plastic cards. I was surprised no one went that direction. That was what had popped into my head initially. But
I tell you why, because the idea of, you know, like those cards getting wet and they like kind of suck together, and then having to like make sure that each of them were dry before you put them away, because next time you'd be like peeling them off, and it just like kind of a, you know, like people have sounds or like textures that like make them shudder. Just thinking about that is kind of like that.
Very, very valid point.
Well done, Rich.
Well, congratulations.
As far as I'm concerned, it is the only one that you'd play in a sports jacket as well in the rain. So it was a pretty key question.
Yeah, it's great scenario.
Wasn't anticipating that being the linchpin, the outfits. Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for coming on, Ray. Like, it's been wonderful. Where can people find you streaming or just generally online? What have you got going on?
Yeah, the best place to find me is on Twitter. It's _ Ray, R-A-Y, Bird, and then _, so _ Ray Bird, _. That's me on Twitter. You can find all of my happenings there. I stream professionally for Czech Games Edition, or CGE, the people who make Codenames, if you're not familiar with publishers. And then I also stream on my own personal channel where I play dating sims and retro games and get hammered. It's really fun. There's this duality. And then I talk about board games on my Twitter. So you can find all those things there. I like to do live streaming from conventions and stuff. That's one of the things I'm known for. You can find that over on the CGE channel. I wear this giant like robot suit that I walk around. I live stream booth to booth at shows.
It is impressive.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's that's probably the thing that I think is the most interesting. So if you're like, can't go to Gen Con or Spiel or something, follow me. I will take you there virtually with me. We'll walk booth to booth and I'll show you all the things. Thank you so much for having me on. This was a blast. This was really fun.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
Of course.
Excellent. Well, this will, depending on where you're currently listening or watching it, it'll either be on the YouTube channel, which is Chance Counters Podcast, I believe. Is that correct, Ben?
That's the one. But we also appear wherever you find your podcasts, on all major podcast feeds. So please make sure to leave a like or leave a 5-star review and tell a friend about the show. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.